T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
The Bernstein and Rahimi Show, middays 9 a.m. to noon on The Score. Reasonable, level-headed, informed sports talk for your workday. Dan Bernstein, Layla Rahimi.
This isn't okay for the Bears to just be a prop for this, like, middle-aged celebrity quarterback tour.
Rodgers, obviously, not always a great quarterback, but I guess he's now a shareholder of the Bears.
Does Virginia like this?
Fournette, 2-yard touchdown to the Buccaneers. Quickly take advantage of great field position set up by the Jalen Darden punt return. 6-0 Bucks. Brady throwing back of the end zone. Zips it underneath. Trevathan to Godwin for the touchdown. 4 yards to strike, and it's 13-0 Tampa Bay.
I asked the question of you three noted Bears scribes. I said, what is it going to take? I don't know where this sits with Bears brass.
Brady looking to throw, goes on the post, caught Evans at the goal line, stood up in the end zone by DHC, but he's in for the touchdown.
Uh-oh, that could get away from you in a hurry.
When you admit publicly that you consult other team owners as to how to run your team, this is the result of what might happen.
Left side of the end zone, Evans the touchdown on Jalen Johnson. And the Buccaneers get their fourth score of the day. Third touchdown throw for Tom Brady. It's 27-3.
It sucks. This is not where the Chicago Bears are supposed to be, letting these two guys yuck it up about, you know, Rodgers owns the Bears and Brady's a 12.5-point favorite.
Brady to throw one more time. Stepping up, stop, pops into the end zone on the post. Evans the snag for the touchdown. Brady's fourth touchdown throw of the day. Second to Evans. And the scoreboard blowing up for the Bucs. It's 34-3 Tampa Bay.
I don't think they're good enough to act on it right now, but to have some pride. Like, I hope the organization is prideful enough that that still stings a little bit.
The Buccaneers win again. They're now 6-1. And the Bears welcome in the San Francisco 49ers next Sunday at Soldier Field. And they drop under 500 to 3-4.
The biggest joke to me is the offensive genius that is resulting in some of the worst stats in the league when it's yards per game. 30th in scoring.
You don't score enough points, the nation gets to make funny.
Watch out, here come the Bears.
The Bernstein and Rahimi Show. Middays, 9 a.m. to noon on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Man, you talk about twisting the knife. That from Nance? That is cold from him. And that you don't hear that kind of thing from him. The voice of the league, the voice of everything. Watch out, here come the Bears. Wow. That stung. That should
Nance
sting.
Nance is Krusty the Clown?
No, seriously. burn that seat. I mean, it's just, that shouldn't happen. It's really, like that. That's Jim Nance having fun at your expense just because he can.
Let's not forget him and Romo during the playoff game where they said a three-word phrase that starts with just the a couple times that also made me laugh.
Yeah, good point.
Yes, but also giggle.
Good point. In character. We're broadcasting live from the Hyundai Score Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers on this dreary Bears Monday. We've got it all for you as we usually do. Kevin Fishbane of The Athletic is going to join us at 9:40. We have a whole bunch of sound from everything that people are saying about this team. We're awaiting to see if there's any day after news that comes out of this as well. Hub Arkish is going to join us at 10:20, and that is because Matt Nagy's press conference is scheduled for 11. We know he doesn't usually go on time. But presuming that he may, we're going to keep that open. We're going to take a bunch of phone calls today, and we're going to react to at least what for me is a building sense of learned helplessness, where the repeated exposure to adverse stimuli starts to program the brain into thinking there's nothing that you can do about it. And it's not a fun place to be.
No, and it's just more of the same. I asked this question at our pre-show meeting, and I will ask it to you again. I want listeners to chime in however you feel. Are you more mad about this loss, or are you still more mad about the Cleveland loss? Because both are egregious. But how are we measuring this now?
And how are the people above them measuring it now? We don't know. We don't know if anything that we are seeing or thinking is connected to anything that's actually happening with the team. And that is immensely frustrating as we talk about all of it. 312-644-6767 is our number at WSCR, The Score. We call that the Score Listener Line. It's powered by BetQL. Bet smarter, beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. If you want to send an email, you send that to Bernstein Rahimi at 670thescore.com. You go there to listen to us live. We stream at 670thescore.com. Your texting shows up in the text zone. Brought to you by Rosen Hyundai of Algonquin. Save time, shop online at rosenhyundai.com. When you text, we reply. Message and data rates may apply. Twitter is at Bernstein Rahimi. She is at Layla Rahimi. I'm at Dan_Bernstein. Make sure you have downloaded the Odyssey app to stream The Score on your mobile devices. You can interact with the show and the station on Facebook by liking the 670 The Score page. Try that. Twitch is the place to be. Twitch.tv.
Recently.
/Chicago670 The Score. That chat, that feed directed by Evan Thomas and Connor O'Donnell. We've got a whole team of producers today. There it is. There it is. Took long enough. Come on now. Ray Diaz, Mike Rankin, Rick Camp, everybody we know and love involved in the production of this show. But I wish I had an easy answer. I wish I had some sort of facile way of thinking everything's okay, but it's very much not. This is very much not okay.
No. And the recorder tells the tale, does it not? People were requesting it yesterday on Twitter as we were all watching the game together. And I was thinking, do we even deserve that? Because that was awful. 21 points by the end of the quarter. You know, the Bears have only scored more than 21 points once this season.
They haven't had a 200-yard passing game.
It's your mission statement, the thing that you are defining your organization by, is failing. And I know you and I discussed this earlier. Mullenhaw touched on it. But that shot, the several shots of the cutaways of Justin Fields sitting by himself after a series that had not gone well, resulting in whatever you want to say at the time, whether it was a turnover, a punt, a fumble, interception of some sort. I did not like seeing it. And I know you said, be careful about the cutaways. Be careful about what you're seeing.
Well, I didn't mean it as a warning to you. I just said that I have learned to be.
I know. And that's part of the frustrating part about not being in a press box, for example, because you can get your binoculars out and you can see whether or not somebody's being talked to in reasonable time sitting on the bench. But don't you want to see someone attempting to help him?
Yes, and trying to turn a negative into a positive and doing the hard work that takes.
The lack of in-game adjustments is nothing new to this team. And not seeing anybody talk to Justin Fields when he's by himself sitting on the bench doesn't give me an indication that that changes.
No, I hope that there is a reasonable explanation. Let's say we did go over and talk to him. The camera just caught. We were in between. We talked to him, or we were bringing the laptop over, bringing the tablet over at that point. There have been in the past some explanations for that. But the fact is, when you're the director, you know this, you're a TV person. When you are sitting in the truck and that shot is there, the longer it's there unimpeded, you're going to go back to that well because that helps tell your story. You know, you're going to find that, and it's not the director's job at that point to necessarily go looking for context. It's his job to get the close-up of one of the most important people on the field looking like he's looking. So I'm not accusing this CBS truck of doing anything nefarious, but you're right. When it comes down to it, that's not the look you want from the most important person on the Bears.
But here's the difference is that also we didn't get a cutaway of Matt Nagy talking to his rookie quarterback, which is something that you would expect if you were directing a game like that. This is the A-team. They're going to tell you the truth about what they're seeing in pictures. That I know. But we didn't see any of that. And what cutaways have we seen on the sideline recently this season? We've seen stuff like, for example, Nick Foles and Andy Dalton talking to each other, and we can make out the words, the offense isn't working. Have we seen anything to dissuade us from that? Have we seen anything to prove it wrong that Justin Fields is by himself in a way on the field?
Weren't those of us who care more about his development than anything else had a bad day yesterday? Had a bad day. It was a bad day for him. It was a bad day for those of us who remain hopeful for him, because he was bad and he didn't get any help. And it didn't seem to matter to anybody that this was all going on.
That's it. To me, you have this rookie quarterback. He's facing the Super Bowl champions. They have the biggest, baddest roster in the league. And aside from the problems with the line, where is the other protection?
Not you mean on the as far as chipping help, or do you mean
during a game, where's the coaching? Where are people talking to him? Who's sitting there with a playbook? Like that sat with me. And we're not getting the whole picture, but I sure hope he is.
He didn't sound like it, did he? Yeah, that's the thing. When he said, I don't know, I've never been through this, it didn't sound like there was any proactive coaching of him to say, this is what we do to turn a negative into a positive. This is what we internalize. This is what we compartmentalize. This is, you know, Nagy speak. Nagy speak usually is, he doesn't make the same mistake twice. Well, at some point, if no one's blocking for you, and you find yourself making the same mistake over and over again because your clock is sped up, because everything that's being forced down your throat, you're having to learn not in real time, but in triple time, because everything is sped up because you can't block anybody. Can't be easy. It can't be easy right now. And they're going to go back to Hallis Hall. They're going to say all their things, and they're going to watch all their film, and they're going to say they're going to try to find the whys. And I wish my level of trust in this regime were a fraction of what it was even a year, 2 years ago, because it's just not.
And to me, when we're talking about the same thing with two remarkably different quarterbacks in Trubisky and Justin Fields, about how both rookie quarterbacks on the Bears are having trouble reading a field, and then you hear Justin Fields talk about where his design reads are supposed to go, I have issue with all of that. I know
you should.
We're going to get into later.
You should. And I know we have Kevin Fishman coming up, but let me point this out as well. Let me point out a discrepancy that I think hits at what was bothersome about those pictures of Justin Fields alone on the sideline in his thoughts. And that is everything we've heard about collaboration and togetherness. Oh, this brought us together. We're so close. We collaborate. I trust these guys. What was jarring was those images were not that. If you're going to be that team, if you're going to be the pick each other up and always be there, and then we need to see it. And I don't want to go too far down this little narrative road, because there may be an explanation for it. But I think that, to me, is the discrepancy. That's where we've got the disconnect between we always got somebody's back. We're so close. We're such a family. We're collaborative, collaborative, collaborative. Well, where the hell was it right there? I didn't see it. And I want to be fair about it, but that doesn't add up.
And are you making the same mistakes twice with development?
Maybe more than twice.
Just curious.
We will find out what Kevin Fishbane thinks. I can preview it's not great what he thinks, but he's always terrific on Bears Monday, as he will be next on The Score.
Kevin Fishbane, Bears beat writer for The Athletic, a man who reports responsibly.
This is my first radio hit wearing a mask. I think it's actually from The Gap, because I might as well try to be stylish while I got to wear one, right?
Kevin Fishbane.
What's the saying? If you have 9 tight ends, do you even have one?
With Dan Bernstein and Leila Rahimi on 670 The Score.
Our Bears Mondays always involve the thoughts of Kevin Fishbane of The Athletic. You can find him on Twitter at @KFishbane. You can find him right now on the Score Hotline, presented by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. Kevin, I don't know where you want to start here, but this is a pretty grim day in recent Bears history for good reason.
Yeah, and I assume you're not talking about the flight that all the beat writers were on that got canceled.
I am not. I don't care about the day of beat writers.
That's fair. I don't think anybody should care about our travel problems. You know, it's like I wrote this last night that like they weren't going to win that game. They weren't going to compete probably in that game. But to lose that badly, you know, like you go back to some of the like you go back to Mitch's rookie year, like they still found ways to, you know, show some life in the fourth quarter and get some garbage time touchdowns. And you could sit there and be like, all right, you can see this, this, and this. Maybe he's got something, you know. And there's nothing necessarily against Fields. It's just his whole team just seems broken. I mean, all three phases. I was just looking up. Like they have the worst punt coverage team in football right now. You know, the defense, like, yeah, it was short fields for five of the first eight drives, but they couldn't do anything. They couldn't get off the field. And to see everything just fall flat in that way, and there's just no cohesion. I don't know who the leaders of this team are right now to try to rally things. Then you have the COVID-19 kind of mini outbreak that's going on. Right now it's as bad as it's been. I think because the weird thing is you go back to those bad John Fox years and you kind of just shrugged because you knew that team was bad. You knew that was, you were just trying to get through those couple seasons. They were rebuilding. This is a team that has spent a lot of money and a lot of training up for draft picks to create a contender. And we're sitting here talking about a 38-3 loss that came only 4 weeks after the worst offensive game in 40 years.
Well, when you put it like that, things look pretty great. I completely agree with you, Kevin. I think you had a tremendous article, as you usually do, following a game like this on The Athletic. And one of the things I really appreciated was illustrating from the very beginning of the game how bad it was going to be and how bad it was setting up. You elect to receive. You start with a toss for no gain, which I take personally, the toss for no gain. But just second down, we saw the pressure. We saw how it was handled. I saw the scheme up front where, once again, the line blocks in a different direction by design. And then Khalil Herbert's left to pick that up. Then we see what happens on 3rd and 17, the check down to Jesse James that goes for 6 yards. Then we see that punt return from a North Texas alum go for his biggest return ever, and it goes from there. But the idea being, from the very beginning, the setup was seemingly flawed.
Yeah, Layla, and go mean green right there. I
put a question mark after it yesterday because I don't know if I can even say that watching that.
That's fair. I didn't have a problem with the decision to take the ball. Like, I kind of had to remind myself that they've actually been pretty good on the first drive. Even you go back to the first game of the season. I mean, they marched downfield before Dalton threw that pick in the end zone. And you get it. Like, why give Brady the ball to start? But and Nagy's talked about this before. I mean, it's such a killer if you're going to get the ball and go three and out, obviously, because then you don't get that extra, you know, possession to start the second half. I just couldn't get over the fact that you spend all week building up to that first play, right? Like, you know in your mind you're going to take the ball if you win the toss. And you're going to get the ball no matter what because you know the Bucs are going to defer. So all week you know that's the play. They've schemed, they've looked at the Bucs defense. They see something. That's the play that they call. And it went for no gain. And the funny thing is, the rest of the afternoon, Khalil Herbert had a ton of success running the ball off that left side. He had 10 carries for 79 yards running left yesterday. And, like, I mean, we've seen this guy be successful on everything except that type of play, right? Get him running inside. Get him in these, you know, these outside zone runs where he can kind of use his vision, cut back, using his agility. And for that to be the opening play. And then you follow it up with obviously, with the sack. It's just like you think about that these guys all come together. They spent all week scripting this. That this is what they came up with, and that is what happened. It just says so much about this team and where they're at right now.
I don't want to blithely dismiss the COVID issues. And I want to ask you, what do we know about how the protocols operated? I know there were some observing that players were on the field with masks on, that I don't know if a different level was triggered based on the number of positive tests. But are the Bears still largely unvaccinated? Is that part of the problem? To me, when we start looking at the discipline of an organization, whether it's Bilal Nichols getting kicked out, whether it's Jalen Johnson sharing the letter of his tardiness fine, or Eddie Robinson fighting with people on Twitter, like, pull it together, Bears. You know, your whole act, they just tighten it up a little bit, because it just seems loose.
Dan, it's absolutely worth talking about because, well, for one thing, to answer your protocols question, either the head coach doesn't know the protocols, which is a problem, or he's just refusing to acknowledge it when we ask him about it, as we're trying to, like, learn more. You know, I'm not an epidemiologist, but, you know, there was a situation with the Arizona Cardinals in the past couple of weeks, and I saw that Dr. Alan Sills was on, and he made a comment about how they were able to distinguish that wasn't a... like that a lot of the guys had different strains. So like they could tell that that wasn't an outbreak per se within the team where guys are catching it from one another. We haven't heard anything like that from the Bears yet. And you wonder, you get, you know, three guys on the COVID list, essentially in less than 48 hours. You start to worry in terms of what it triggers. I'm guessing they're probably trying to figure that out. Is it all the same thing? And the vaccinated question, it's frustrating, Dan, because the number of players in the Bears that are unvaccinated, as far as I know, is very small. But it just takes one. It just takes one guy who's not vaccinated, and then you're out for 10 days if you have a positive test, no matter what. So it just takes one to see, you know, the effect that it could have on your team. And I think it does. I know... Like, you know, Matt Nagy didn't really want to – we had the vaccination questions at the start of camp, and eventually he just, like – he kind of seemed done with talking about it. I don't know if that was – you know, he didn't want to talk about it anymore. He was kind of sick of trying to continue to get the last remaining guys to do it. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if they bring the team together and say, look what happened this week. You know, we need some of you last guys to do this for us. Like, look what this is at. Or maybe he's just given up. I don't know. But I do think you can make that argument that it does speak to the team. You know, we always hear about this team culture. I think right there is an example that they're not where they think they are if, you know, they have to deal with this from a football perspective, when guys are just not, you know, abiding by the most basic, you know, medical knowledge that we have.
I also want to point out something that we all saw with what happened with Bilal Nichols getting ejected for punching Ryan Jensen. And I laugh first because it's really funny to see a guy punch another guy wearing a helmet. But then also you bring up the point that this is now three players in just over a year, 372 days. To me, when you're talking about culture and the discipline, and we see the Bears still have more penalties than the Buccaneers did, I think there's something to be said for the trend that we've been seeing there as well. Frustration boiling over and seeing it on the field in an ejection.
Yeah, you're right, Layla. And the thing is, you know, Bilal Nichols is probably the last guy, one of the last guys in the team you expect to let his frustration boil over like that. But yes. Look at Bilal Nichols. Here's somebody who, this is his contract year. This was supposed to be an amazing opportunity for him to cash in, to break out. The team loves him. Like, there were a lot of reasons to think he could have a big year. And I think he has played well, but the numbers aren't there in terms of sacks, tackles for loss. I think he's been fine. He's certainly far from the problem. But that is an example of how frustrated this team gets, is that he – and the thing is, Matt Nagy kind of referenced this. I've covered four games, I think, of the Bears playing Ryan Jensen back when he was on the Ravens and then now with the Bucks. Whenever there's an issue, you know it's him. Like, you just look for him after the play. That's what he does. So, like, the Bears told everybody, don't let this guy get to you. You know, he's going to try to instigate you. Like, that's just what he does. He's a very good player, and he's very good at rallying up his opponents. So, like, that just, again, it speaks to this culture of this team. And you know, when we talk about this, I think culture is a silly buzzword, because when a team is good, like, all that matters are wins and losses. Like, it's hard to care about the culture of a team. And then when to compound it, when you spend 2 years talking about how your culture is so great, and then you have all these things happen, you know, what does that say about you? And then there's the accountability factor. And I'm going to say this, guys, acknowledging that I get that Bears fans don't care who talks to the media. I understand this is
this was my next question. I'm glad you're getting to this.
So, and I get that. But the way it works now, we don't have open locker room. We can't go in the locker room and talk to guys and ask them to talk. You know, you're counting on guys to take accountability and understand this is part of the job and to talk. And, you know, for one thing, Justin Fields has no choice. So here's this team. Their rookie quarterback's getting thrown around, right? He's running around for his life. Everything's breaking down. He has to talk to us twice a week. There hasn't been a single Bears player, I think, other than Justin Fields, who's talked to us twice a week, except for Khalil Herbert, but this season, I believe, who's another rookie. After they lost to the Packers, we talked to two rookies and two second-year players and Sam Mustipher. That tells me all those veterans in the locker room, like, you guys go deal with it. We're not talking to them. Yesterday, you know, I had a good feeling Roquan Smith was going to talk to us, because he's done that after games, and he's done that after really bad games throughout his career. He talked to us after the Rams game. He talked to us after the Browns game. And you know, credit to him. And then it was clear Herbert and nobody else. Nobody else. And I think that speaks to, again, you know, these guys are like, you know, again, these veterans are telling, like last week, it was just Cole Kmet, Darnell Mooney. And again, I credit these guys for doing this when it's tough. Like, I get it, but it's part of the job. And to see veterans just not taking part in that and leaving their rookie and second-year teammates hanging them out to dry, it's a shame. And also, you know, the fans then don't get to get explanations, don't get to understand kind of what's gone wrong.
Kevin Fishbane, outstanding stuff. Could talk all day, but I know you've got a flight home to book, so good luck.
All right, thanks, guys.
Thanks,
that's Kevin. Kevin Fishbane of The Athletic joining us on Bernstein and Rahimi on Bears Monday. Next up, what do you say we open up the phone lines? 312-644-60. Don't laugh yet. 6767. Also, in there, we want to hear from Olin Krutz, some of what he said last night on the football after show. This is a guy whose pride is wounded, and I hope there are some people within the Bears organization who feel the same way he does. I'm not going to bet on it. I'm just going to hope that's the case. So Bears Monday rolls on next on The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.